Guys, we got some new segments coming up. The first one we're going to do is we're going to kick it off with a little bit of Furious Five. So this is a new segment that we're going to do each week on the Average Joe Sports Show, the top five sports stories of the week. And we got a lot coming up here. We'll get right into it with number one. I thought about going backwards, but we're going to start from the, you know, one, two, three, four, five. So we'll start. So number one. We will go to the Cowboys. Actually, both of our first two are from the Cowboys. We will go NFL. The season's heating up. Ezekiel Elliott trying to stay out of trouble. He hasn't even started an NFL game yet. So what does he do? And he decides that before a preseason game, he's going to go to the store. But not any store. He's going to go to the special store. And they were they playing in Denver?
They were
playing
in Denver. They were in Seattle.
Okay. Yeah, so Washington has a certain thing, you know, recreational legalized there. So he goes to that kind of store.
3 hours before the game.
3 hours before the game. So, Ezekiel Elliott, should he be going to this store 3 hours before the game? And should Jerry Jones have a problem with it? We'll go.
Yeah, I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, I think Jerry Jones even came out publicly saying that this was a dumb move on Zeke Elliott's part. Zeke Elliott has had past troubles. I think he was suspended at Ohio State a couple years back. I don't know if he was in that group selling memorabilia or something like that, but he's had
problems. I think he was.
In the past. Over the summer, he was accused of domestic violence. That went nowhere, thank God. Nothing came from that. But he's been in trouble. His name's been in the wrong limelight, and he hasn't even started a game yet.
But my thing is, with any NFL rookie, I don't care who you are, first-round draft pick, seventh-round draft picks, anybody.
And he's the fourth overall
pick. But you're going to have... People want to see that you know how to handle yourself. This may not have been a big deal if Tony Romo went. It still would have gotten some light about it.
Especially 3 hours before the game.
3 hours before the game. That's a little ridiculous. But they want to be able to see that you know how to handle yourself.
Stay out of trouble.
Off the field. And especially with the state of the NFL the past few years and how their players have had some off-the-field issues.
More than any other league.
It's just not a great way to start in the eyes of the public outside of the football reign.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, the way the NFL's been going. Do you think that everything is the NFL and the culture and the around it is starting to assimilate into, oh, well, you know, that's okay. You know, you have your Josh Gordons and your Johnny Footballs and people like that. But if they go out there and they're good athletes, it doesn't matter. Do you think that's starting to become more of like a trend in the NFL?
For sure. For sure. The players don't respect Roger Goodell. They don't respect his decisions.
And we saw that with Josh Norman, and we'll talk about that later.
They don't respect his discipline, and they're trying to change the culture. And the NFL is moving forward, and they're changing.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't really – I'm not the biggest Roger Goodell fan, but – He's their leader.
And he's tough. And I like that he's tough.
Right. So I don't care what level you're at, you're going to have leadership, and you're going to have to respect that leadership.
If you don't respect the authority...
That's the only way something can function properly is if the leadership is respected.
And we'll talk about that more, because there's other players with this problem too in the NFL. But going back to Zeke Elliott... This guy is really talented, and if he stays out of trouble, he's going to be special. Dallas Cowboys, one of the best offensive lines in football.
Been a continuous thing, too.
They made Darren McFadden look good last year. And this guy was the fourth overall pick. And then in that game against Seattle, against the Seattle defense starters, 48 yards on 7 carries. Cam Chancellor, after the game, said he was surprised how physical Zeke Elliott was. Zeke Elliott dropped his shoulder and went right at Cam Chancellor a few times. They were going at it. It was great football. Zeke Elliott looked great out there, but he needs to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, if he stays out of trouble.
There's too many people on Dallas that are bad influences. He can't be hanging out with Dez Bryant, Randy Gregory. He can't be hanging out with those guys because half their defense is suspended already.
Yeah, well, you take a look at Dallas. That kind of brings up like a sub point there. Jerry Jones likes to bring in all these players. We thought for a moment that he might bring in Johnny Manziel, and he didn't even do that.
He would have if Johnny Manziel was actually good.
Yeah, I mean, and Randy Gregory and, you know, all those players like that. Should Jerry Jones be mad if his players act out when he knows what he's getting? If he does, you know, do you think he knows what he's doing and bringing in these troubled players, if you will? If they're labeled troubled players. I don't want to label Ezekiel Elliott a troubled player. He hasn't even played an NFL game.
He's not.
But do you know what I mean? And that kind of brings us to the next point. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Jerry Jones has put himself in kind of a tough position because not only did he bring in Randy Gregory, he brought in the Carolina defensive end
Greg Hardy.
He brought in Greg Hardy, Randy Gregory.
Rolando McClain.
He's got all these guys who have had issues in the past. And
he's
setting himself up to have to make tough decisions that he may not need to make.
I think the problem is here. He thinks he has Bill Belichick coaching this team.
Right.
Because if you have Bill Belichick, you can take these risks. When you have Jason Garrett as your coach, you can't take all these risks. You can't have all these troubled players because they're not going to respect Jason Garrett. Mm-hmm. Jason Garrett is not a good NFL coach.
Whoa. Okay.
He's not.
I think that, you know, he's a guy who was a quarterback, and then he tried to transition into a coach. We've seen a lot of them like that, just like Gary Kubiak has done in Denver.
Jim Harbaugh.
And you know, the thing about Garrett is he was the offensive coordinator for a time. He trained under Wade Phillips when he was the coach. So I will tell you one thing about the Cowboys, and we're going to move on to now another Cowboys player. But if Tony Romo doesn't win this year, he's done. Get rid of him. But I want to see him win.
He's got to stay healthy.
Everybody's a Cowboy hater. I actually want to see Tony Romo win.
I want to see Romo win.
Tony Romo win. That's a completely different point.
Hey, that leads us to his backup.
Yeah.
He's been playing amazing. Lights out.
It certainly does. All right, so we're going to go to Dak Prescott now. He has been for real. Give us his stats, Thomas.
All right, the fourth-round pick from Mississippi State this year in the preseason, he is 22 of 27 passes for 338 yards, 4 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a perfect passer rating of 158.3.
All right, so Dak Prescott comes in. This is the preseason. Again, he has not started a game either, so 2 draft picks right out of the gate for Dallas. Is he a superstar in the making? Is it too early to tell? What have you seen so far, guys, and what do you like about him?
All I know on how high the Cowboys were on Dak Prescott. They were looking at a couple quarterbacks to take because they knew they were looking for a backup. They had to after what happened last year. They were really high on Paxton Lynch. They tried to trade up for Paxton Lynch. They tried to trade up for
Connor Cook.
And one of the Cowboys assistant coaches told an ESPN reporter the other day that the whole time he would have taken him over Connor Cook or Paxton Lynch. So they were high on Dak Prescott, and in the fourth round, they got a hell of a pick in the fourth round.
Oh, definitely. That was a great fourth
round pickup.
Joe's shaking his head no.
Well, no, I do think that he was a good pick, but And we're going to talk about Paxton Lynch, too. But, you know, you had a lot of good quarterbacks, Paxton Lynch and Connor Cook, really. But where does Dak Prescott stand is the question. And he's going to have to back up Tony Romo. But do you think, with all the injuries that Romo's had, do you think he's expecting to play, even to start this year?
I mean, I think you have to prepare for it. Any backup has to prepare like a starter because you never know. Any week, your quarterback can go down and you're going to have to come in.
Especially when your quarterback is 36, coming off of 2 back surgeries. I mean,
and it's like just the other night against Seattle. He took a hit against Seattle.
A huge hit.
Yeah.
Which was actually really good to see. He took a huge hit and he got back up.
Right.
And he said last year at this time, he would not have gotten up from that, which was good. But they took him out, and then they got Dak Prescott more passes. So that hit actually proved to be great for Dallas fans because you're seeing Tony Romo is healthy. He can take a hit. And you also got to see Dak Prescott get more reps in. He lit it up against that Seattle starter defense again, and he's been lights out in the preseason. So you don't want to be too high on this guy because it's still only preseason.
But
you have to be impressed.
Everything you've seen so far has to give you high hopes for the future.
You have to be impressed how good this guy's been. But you have to be weary because no teams are really blitzing in the preseason. Mm-hmm. They're not putting out their full playbook out there. And to go back on last preseason, Sam Bradford was the highlight quarterback who lit it up in preseason. And look what he did last year. But I still think Dallas fans, you have something to look forward to. You don't have some bum backing up Tony Romo anymore. This is a positive.
All right. Well, enough about Dallas. We'll definitely see. They got plenty of stuff coming up. So we'll move around the NFL, still talking about it here. How about Denver? Now, the defending Super Bowl champions, Peyton Manning rides out. We all know about that. So now they come into this season, and things are a little bit sticky so far. You have my man, Mark Sanchez. I pray something will happen, but Sanchez, it's not looking good. So the Sanchez not looking good. Then now you have Trevor Siemian, who's going to, looks like he's going to start that all-important preseason week three game for Denver. Then you have Paxton Lynch, too, the draft pick. Looks like Mark Sanchez might be all the way down at the number three spot. So what is to say about this Broncos QB situation? And whoever starts, whether Siemian, Lynch, or Sanchez, do they have any chance at putting up a good fight this year, especially in the AFC West?
Oh, man. This is really tough. I mean, they lost a lot of talent. It's not just on this quarterback position because they lost a lot of talent on that defense. The position, that division is getting better. Kansas City's getting better. Oakland's on the come up. So I really don't know if this even matters who the quarterback is. I really don't see Denver repeating. It's really hard to repeat that season last year. That defense is not going to be the same. I really don't care who this quarterback is. I honestly don't care who the quarterback is. Trevor Siemian's not going to do anything special.
Well, how about even just putting up a fight? I mean, you take a look at their schedule. AFC West not going to be the easiest thing this year. So,
well, look, it's Peyton Manning did not. He was not a great quarterback last year, but you know what he did? He took care of the football.
He was a leader.
He was a leader. He took care of the football. He didn't cause turnovers. He didn't throw interceptions other than for the first few weeks.
17.
I mean, look at 2001. Look at Trent Dilfer for the Baltimore Ravens. When they won the Super Bowl there, he was led by his defense.
Yeah, but
Ray Lewis led the way. Von Miller did the same thing for Denver.
The Broncos are not looking for a quarterback to come out and throw 35 touchdowns.
That's why Trevor Siemian is going to be the starting quarterback because he won't turn it over.
My point is that if none of the three really distinguish yourself, wouldn't you want your really high draft pick out there? You might as well go ahead and get Paxton Lynch some reps. I mean, if you're going to...
Well, if Trevor Siemian looks better, why not give him a chance?
Well, yeah.
He's only a second-year quarterback.
If Siemian distinguishes himself as the starting quarterback, give it to him.
I think he has so far.
I think he will. I don't think he has so far, but I think he will.
He's starting to.
He is beginning to. But I am interested to see where this goes. And I think Paxton Lynch will end up getting some playing time before the season's over with.
All right. So they have a big season coming up, and you take a look at their schedule. It is certainly not an easy one. They will open up on September 8th against the Panthers on NBC. That's the season opener right there. Then they have the Colts. Who knows what's going to become of them? But then they have, you know, the Bengals. They got a pair of NFC South, rather, in the Bucks and the Falcons. And then they got to take on the Chargers twice, who weren't looking great last year, but they've come back up. So, especially, and how about this? They have three of their last five games are on the road. It is the Jaguars and the Titans, but then they have to play at the Chiefs in Week 16. That could be an important matchup. But you never know who's going to outlast. How about this before we move on? How many quarterbacks are we going to see start for Denver this year? One, two, three, or more? I'm going to go with three.
I'm going to go with two. Okay.
I'm going to go with two.
I'm going to go with two.
Okay.
Paxton Lynch gets in there at some time.
All right.
And I think they trade Mark Sanchez.
Or cut him. They're going to cut him.
Yeah.
He's the third string.
Trade him or cut him. One of the two.
Honestly, we could have talked about if Osweiler was worth over $70 million. No. Which he's,
getting rid of Osweiler
not.
Was...
It's kind
of
like NBA. It's
they had to do it.
The
they're
way
not
they were paying people. So.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, moving on here to number four. And we'll go to baseball now. The New York Yankees, Alex Rodriguez is done, and we are moving to a new era, and it looks like a nice one. Gary Sanchez leading the way, 9 home runs in his first 21 games. Is he for real, and is this team really something to talk about? You have Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, I mean, Brett Gardner's still on the team. You got Gregorius in there who took over last year. You got Heedley at third base. I mean, Thomas, you've been following this team all year. What is there to be said about this?
Oh, man. I'm excited in Yankee baseball again. That's what this means. This is awesome. Before Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge came up, Yankee fans were dead. They didn't care about this team. There was nothing interesting about this team. Gary Sanchez is making the Yankees interesting again. Hometown grown talent makes baseball exciting. It sells. And Gary Sanchez actually hit another home run last night. He had his 10th home run in 22 games. He's only the third player in MLB history to do that in their first 22 games. He is the first player in MLB history to have 30 hits and 10 home runs in his first 22 games. This guy is special. He's a great catcher. He's been in the Yankees farm system for years. He's only 23. He's the top-rated catcher in baseball prospect-wise, number 32 overall. This guy is really special. Obviously, he's not going to keep this pace, but he's making Yankee baseball interesting again.
Well, certainly interesting because you had Sanchez and Judge coming in hitting back-to-back home runs in their first two at-bats right after Rodriguez left. And, you know, they're kind of being forced in there in the mid part of the season. You had Judge come in. You had Sanchez come in. And, you know, you have these older folks on the team like, you know, McCann. And Caster's been he's having a very good year. I mean, Jacoby Ellsbury at center field. Brett Gardner's been on this team for a while. So are these new is the chemistry going to match up here as we enter the second half of the season? Like, are they really going to start playing for, you know, implications there?
I'm not sure if the Yankees will get back in the playoff hunt. They're working on it. They have made a push at it the last few weeks.
Yeah, they're 4.5 back.
I just think the top of the AL when it comes to the wild card position is just going to be too much for them to overcome in that instance.
Which is fine.
It's not all about this year. I don't think they would win the World Series this year, but you never know with the New York Yankees if they get in the playoffs. But with having these two young guys come up, it just gives fans hope for the future. That's all they needed. In the past couple years, A-Rod's retired, Jeter's retired,
Mariano's
retired.
They need some young, homegrown talent.
First baseman,
Teixeira's
retired.
Yeah, so
all they've had is they've lost, and they've lost games too. So they needed hope for the future that their team would improve and get better, and so I think it's really been a bright spot for them.
All right, well, New York Yankees, the Baby Bombers are in town. Finally, we're going to move to the U.S. Women's National Team. We have some Olympic wrap-up coverage coming, but we need to talk about the bad boy, bad girl, Hope Solo. Not a fair... She's a sore loser. We know this already, but she really made it known. The U.S. women's team loses in a shocker to Sweden. She says that we lost to a bunch of cowards. Well, nobody liked that, and they suspended her for 6 months. Is Hope Solo's U.S. women's national team career over, is the question.
Yes, and it should be.
Hopefully.
Okay.
I'm tired of her.
Are you?
It's kind of been annoying, and when my 16-year-old sister sits at home, who is a goalie, and basically the reason she got started in soccer was because she wanted to be like Hope Solo. Whenever she sits at home and says, I hope Hope Solo never plays another game for USA, that tells me that she should be done.
Yeah, I mean, you had Abby Wambach get arrested right after she was off the team. You have Hope Solo. We had the whole domestic violence issue, and now we have this. Is the U.S. women's team painting a bad light? Because it's almost like a lot of people look up to them. They're great role models.
Been so dominant, and they have greatly impacted the women's game. And now they're taking what they set as a good example and showing that they may not be as good of example as we thought they were.
It's time to move on. Everybody is finally tired of Hope Solo. She was the greatest goalie in women's soccer, and now she's not. She's not the best anymore. She's not great anymore, and they're tired of her, and they're moving on. They're tired of her big mouth. She talks a lot. She gets in trouble a lot. She's a bad in the locker room. Honestly, this reminds me a little bit of T.O. Cheryl Owens.
You think she's as bad? See, that's the thing.
No, she might be worse.
T.O. is going to make the Hall of Fame, though. T.O. was still a contributor. T.O. still wants to play football today.
Yeah, but Hope Solo was the greatest women's goalie. So she had a lot of talent, but
T.O. also never beat up anybody. Remember that.
Hope Solo... Yeah, I know. Hope Solo is worse than T.O. because she's not only the locker room cancer that T.O. was, but she has these off-the-field problems, and now they're tired of this. She didn't even apologize for her remarks. She's not sorry, and this is a collective suspension. This wasn't just a suspension for her comments. They were got tired of her antics, and this was a collective suspension. They wanted to get her out of there. And I hope her backup gets the chance now, because her backup is Alyssa Nayer, who I went to high school with.
Yeah,
she
went
to my high school.
Yeah, I forgot about her for a second.
This is awesome. I'm really excited to see her get a chance here.
You got a little ulterior motives, much so. That's all right, though, but... Hope Solo is her career. You guys say yes?
Yeah, I think
I say she's done. I think they actually terminated her contract, and they can re-sign her after the suspension. But why would they?
I mean, she's 36 right now.
She would be 38 by the next World Cup. It's not going to happen.
Okay, well, Alyssa Nayer, it looks like she's going to get a chance.